Let's pray. Father God, we're so happy to be in the house of the Lord and to worship you this morning. To lay at your feet the cries of our hearts, the prayers and the worship that you are truly due. Not for any other reason, but you are worthy because you are holy and you are a powerful God who loves us and sent his son to die for us. And it's amazing grace that we get to experience day after day, the grace that you have given through your son Jesus, that brings salvation, that gives us hope, that helps us to trek the wilderness that we live in. And so, God, we're grateful. We approach this day with gratitude and thanksgiving, knowing, Father God, that you are the reason, you are the hope in which we stand on. And you are the reason why we're here today. To be a body of people, a group of believers that trust in you and to worship you. And we're so grateful that we get to be a part of just your church. So God, thank you for that. Lord, this morning as we just take time to seek you for the struggles that we experience, the difficulties, the hopes, the dreams that we have, God, we just ask, Father, that you would speak into our lives today. For those that need a special touch of healing, we pray, God, that your hand of mercy would be upon them. We think of our friend Mike Abbey and his wife, Linda. Thank you, God, for the work that you are doing, but we pray for healing in his body. We think of Linda Olson and her husband Tom and Linda's condition and disease that is just ravaging her body. Lord, we pray that your hand of mercy would be upon her. We pray for healing. We pray for strength. We pray for comfort, knowing, God, that you are fully capable of doing great works. We also know, Lord, that you have plans that are beyond ourselves. You have works that you are going to accomplish according to your will and your ways that we may not understand. And we trust, God, that you will work in ways that will only make sense when we're with you in heaven. And so we trust. We pray for people today that just need some strength, because the day that they are facing today or tomorrow or the next is difficult and hard. And so, God, we just ask that you would give, that you would know and search the hearts of your people and know, God, that you can give them strength. We pray for healing from sickness and disease, that you are greater than those things. We pray, Father, that the minds of your people will be made whole. And the hearts and the bodies will be made whole. God, today we just ask that your hand of mercy would be upon us as we experience your grace today. Thank you for your power, your word, and your work that you want to do in us and through us. And we pray these many things in the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all here this morning. We have a QR code that if you would like to use it at any point in time, that would be greatly appreciated. This is it's a check-in tool, but it's also just a way for you to get connected to our church app and then also just to be aware of what's going on with our calendar and things like that. We have a variety of socials that we want you to be connected to, Instagram, Facebook, you know, the works. And if you have never gotten an email from me, if you consider Living Hope to be your church home, that might be because I don't have it. So if you would like to check that out, we would love to update that information. If you have any questions about that, let me know. This Wednesday is a big day. We have a lot of things going on. The first thing that we have going on is that for kids and families, we have grab-and-go meals that start at 6 o'clock, and there's plenty of opportunities for our kids and families to be a part of that. Basically, it's for Wednesday nights, and so we have Hope Kids that starts at 6:30, and we have the youth group and the parents group that start at 6:30 as well. And so there's a lot going on that night, and we need you to know, be aware of it. And there's some really cool stuff that's happening within those groups. Also, wanted to let you know that we have a men's breakfast that is being scheduled and is in the works for March 9th and 7:30. The things that I know is going to be there is that there's going to be food and coffee, and you don't want to miss out on it, guys. So plan for that day to join us that morning, and it will be not only a filling time, but a fulfilling time as well. I know. I'm a poet and you didn't know it. And so be aware of those things and what's going on and what we have happening. As always, our website has information on it as far as calendars. And if you have not connected to our Church Center app, let me know and I can help you get connected to that as well, because we have the calendar of events that are happening there as well. So we're going to go ahead and dismiss our kids for Children's Church, and they can go back and have their time of learning and worship, and then we will jump right in to our message today. So we've been doing a 21-day prayer journey over the this is like day number... Let's see. We're starting day number 14, I think, today, 14 or 15. And these have been available for you. I hope that you have found them helpful just as far as a way to help you pray, a way to help you kind of be a little bit more focused in not just praying the typical things, but praying for things within our community, within our church body. And if you want to continue on with this, there's ways that we can continue on. I can help you create some new options or some new thoughts, or maybe it's just, you know what, this has been so good for me to be consistent in my prayer time that I'm just going to repeat the cycle, and that's totally fine as well. What we've been doing more than just my desire for us to be a church that prays, my hope in all of this is that we have are experiencing a greater communion with God, meaning that we have an intimacy with God that is growing and diving deep into the relationship that we desire to have with God. And so that's why this 21-day prayer journey has been so important. And I hope that you're experiencing good things out of it. I also hope that your prayer time is growing and developing as well. But I also want to talk to you about fasting. So a couple of weeks ago, I ran right through a section in my sermon about fasting. And seriously, I went, phew. We spent like 2 minutes So we're going to spend 12 today. No, I'm kidding. I don't know how long it's going to take. But I really want to talk a little bit about fasting today. And here's the reason why is that fasting is not something that we do a very good job of practicing. At least I don't, and maybe you do, and you're like, oh yeah, I fast all the time. And I'm not just talking about intermittent fasting. We're talking about really the idea of neglecting something and filling that time that we would have been doing that with prayer and seeking God. Matthew 6, 16 through 18 says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." The idea behind all this, when Jesus was talking about this, is that when you fast, he's saying that you're fasting. So when you fast, do this so that it doesn't look like you're fasting. Okay, because there were people that were at that point in time that they were making it a show that they were fasting. So they would not take care of themselves in the morning time by making themselves presentable. And they would put on their worst hoodie, and the one that was all shredded and broken and disfigured, and they wouldn't wash their faces and things like that. And they just looked like they had been through a war that night, and they went about their day. Now, obviously, I'm embellishing a little bit, okay? But you're getting the idea. They didn't take care of themselves. So it's like when most of us wake up and our hair is like pointing in 9 different directions. Yeah, I don't have that problem. But the idea is that they would just roll out of bed and go about their business and not comb their hair, wash their face, whatever, because they were making a show of their fasting. And Jesus is like, no, that's not the thing. That's not what that's about. When we fast, we do it for God who is unseen, not for those that are sitting near you, not for those that are on the street corner that are going to see you and say, oh, you must be fasting. That's not what it's for. The heart of the matter is that we fast so that God can do something in us. We fast so that what God can get into our lives. That's what we're really talking about. He continued, or there in Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 15, this is asked of him. Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast." Jesus at this point in time is also kind of dealing with battles from the John the Baptist disciples and also the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their disciples. And they're like, hey, we've noticed that your disciples, they're not fasting as much as we are. What's the deal with that? And Jesus is like, I'm here. This is what they need. They don't need to fast right now. They need me. And really, you guys need this as well. So let's just join in together and we'll be good. The fasting right that moment wasn't important. Although they fasted at least one time a week. We can participate in this. Fasting is choosing to abstain from food for a certain period of time. And the motivation is to draw closer to the heart of God. That's what we're talking about when we say fasting, because it helps to break the power of flesh in our lives, our desires, our sins and our cravings. And it, when we fast, it breaks down these powers of the flesh. And it's a hard thing, but it's an important thing for us to think about. It disconnects us from the distractions of the world, and it reconnects us with God. And we don't fast to get more of God, but we fast to give more of ourselves to God. Okay? Now, there's a number of different types of fasts that you could do. You could take a 40-day fast from social media. How awesome would that be? You could take a 40-day or a fast from the news. Sign me up for that one. You could take a fast from sweets. I mean, we just entered into Lent season on Wednesday, was Ash Wednesday. And there's a lot of different types of fasts that happen during this time of year because of traditions. And that's totally okay. Sometimes people will enter into Lent and they will give up something during those 40 days. That's awesome. What I'm talking about today is maybe over the next 45 minutes. You're lucky if we're done in 45 minutes. I'm joking again. I'm sorry. 30 minutes. Take some time and ask the Lord if he would put it on your heart to fast for one meal this week. One meal. And in that meal time, don't eat. You can drink, have your water, have your beverage of choice. But spend some intentional time with Jesus and feast on him instead on food. And then when the next meal time comes up, eat like normal. But for one meal this next week, consider fasting. Spend that time in prayer. Spend that time in worship. Turn on some music that is worship music and spend time worshiping God. I have a sheet that is by the prayer tithing box just in the hallway there. And if you are moved by God to have a specific time this week over the next 7 days, beginning on Monday till next Sunday, and God puts it on your heart to fast one of those meals, write your name on one of those spots. Don't do it half-heartedly, though. Please. Please don't. Do it with full intention of following through and for that mealtime, really seeking God. Because when we fast, and we're going to skip this next one, one more. There we go. When we fast, we're focusing on God. That's the F of fast. The A is to abstain from food. Because we're talking about a food fast. Substitute the food for prayer and God's word. Maybe you haven't had your, maybe it's morning is the perfect time for you to take the fast and you just spend an extra little bit of time reading God's word. Perfect. That would be great. And the T is to taste and see that God is good. Taste and see that he's good. So we're gonna try this. It's an experiment. Everybody excited about experiments? Give it a try. And if that so encourages you and God puts it on your heart in the next 30 minutes, when you leave today, sign up on the sheet. You don't have to do anything other than write your name or even your initials. I'm going to keep that. And maybe you'll get a text from me this week, or an email or a phone call, and just saying encouragement. Not, did you do it? We're not doing that. OK, Okay, I'm not going to keep track of you. I'm not going to drive by your home and make sure that, Mark, you were praying on your knees. Okay, that's not cool. Wouldn't do that. But I want to be praying for you while you fast. So that's why I'm asking for that. Here's the deal, folks. My heart is so burdened for us as a church to grow deeply in our relationship with him. Because I believe that when we grow deep in our relationship with him, what comes up out of us impacts the community and the world that we're a part of. And that's the only way we're going to have any type of impact for this part of Cedar Rapids is by us growing deep in him. There's no other way. If there is any type of impact that happens without us being deep in our relationship with God, it's going to spring up very quickly and then it's going to die. But we need to be able to be deeply rooted in our relationship with him for any type of impact to be sustainable. So that's what this is about. And I think if we can do that, I think this is what the start of it is, that we are a praying people. We're willing to take a step and try something new to help us grow in our relationship with God. And now I realize that this isn't for everyone. I realize that we are at different points in our lives where fasting sounds very unrealistic for us. And that's okay. Don't worry about it. But maybe there's a different way for you to fast instead of a meal fast like we're doing this week. And maybe try that. Maybe it's for the next couple of days, I am going to intentionally stay away from things that distract me, like social media. Take two 24-hour periods, 48 hours. That was fast math. And you're going to abstain away from social media or the news, because news is just so disheartening to you. It's a burden and it weighs heavy on you. How great would it be that the moment that you're having that urge, man, I should catch up on the news, you're like, nope, I'm going to spend that time that I would have spent praying and seeking God. That's fasting. That's as simple as it can be. Okay. Or maybe you're going to fast from buying your coffee out and about. And instead of sitting down in the coffee shop, you're going to spend that time brewing your coffee at home and spending time in the Word. I just made that one up off the top of the head right there. So that's what we're going to do. And if you have any questions, I would love to chat with you about it afterwards. Okay, jumping right in. We're going to talk about being with God in the chaos. Everybody say chaos. Chaos. How chaotic is life right now? Come on. I heard like 5 or 6 people that are semi-retired or retired go, oh my goodness. That's when life should be the calmest, right? Right. I know better. Life itself in all times and all different places is chaotic. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where we are. Life is pretty chaotic. Or chaoticness maybe is relative. It's relative depending on where we are at. Some moments, some weeks, some days, some time periods, some years are more chaotic than others, depending on what's going on in life. But I think we'd all agree that chaos is real and it's disrupting. It's disrupting. In John 15:9, I don't have a slide for it, but John 15:9 talks about, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, now remain in my love. This is the passage of scripture where Jesus is talking about abiding in him and remaining in him. And this is really the crux of the idea of having communion or abiding in God. And the picture is that if you cut off a branch from a tree, what happens to that branch? It withers and it dies. The only way that a branch stays connected and stays fruitful is if it is actually connected to the tree and it is getting all the nourishment from the tree, right? Everybody's got that picture with me? If it's green, it's growing. If it's brown, it's dying. All right, good. So that's what we desire as followers of Jesus, that we are green and growing, that we are abiding, that we are in communion with God. Can that happen in the chaos? Can we really have communion with God when life is just chaotic, crazy, messy, and all of that? Now, the easy answer is yes. Right? That's the easy answer. The hard answer is, well, how does that happen? Because we all experience chaotic times in our lives. If you were to draw up the mission of Jesus, what would it be? Jesus's mission. Simplified, save the world. I know, super simple. But Jesus' mission was to save the world. And he had a to-do list. At least I created a to-do list for Jesus and what he was going to do in order to save the world. First one is that he's going to recruit and deploy disciples to change the world. That's a good start. Spread the gospel. That is the goodness of salvation in the world. He was going to manage a demanding travel schedule. He was going to heal the sick, cast out the demons, raise the dead, and manage a smear campaign by the people that should have been supporting him. And we complain about our to-do lists. Jesus has a big one. Massive. Recruit disciples and deploy them to change the world. Have you ever looked at the list of disciples and how interesting they were? That's a whole nother sermon. I'm not even going to go down that road. Our passage of scripture, and I've chosen this passage because I think it will show us and give us an idea of how chaotic and how busy Jesus's life was at the earliest stages of his ministry. So Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 37, it's lengthy, but it's good. So if you got your Bibles, open them up. Mark is the third or the second gospel in the New Testament. Give you a second. While you're finding that in your Bibles, keep a mental tally on how many times the word immediately or something like that appears in these verses. Verse 16, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net in the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once, they left their nets and followed him. When he got a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them. And he left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. I didn't sound very sternly, did I? "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were also amazed that they had asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left their synagogue, they went with James and John to the house, to the home of Simon and Andrew, Simon's mother-in-law, in bed with a fever. She was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. How awesome would that be? Just Jesus touches your hand, and fever's gone. That's sweet. That evening after sunset, people brought to Jesus all the sick and possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and they found him. They exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." So, about how many times did you see immediately or some variation of that word? I got about 6 or 7. Anybody else? 5, 6, 7? All right, fantastic. Could we say that Jesus lived in a pretty chaotic world? I mean, think about what he just experienced. The calling of disciples. He dealt with demon possession. He dealt with the sick, the lame, and the poor, and with new teaching and all these questions about him. It's simplistic, but yes, Jesus dealt with a very chaotic world, and he was traveling from one place to the next. Now, we don't know exactly how many days went into this initial schedule, but the point is that the pressures and the demands on Jesus's time was huge, let alone being at a disciple's home, mother-in-law's home, and not only healing her, but then the entire community brings people to the doorstep and expecting that Jesus is going to do something, and there are these needs and demands of people to care for him, that he should care for them. And verse 35, we see very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. In Luke's gospel, there's a similar account of this, that Jesus withdrew to desolate places, a quiet place, sometimes deserted, sometimes the wilderness, sometimes the desert. At the very least, Jesus went away to a lonely place where he could not be disturbed easily. What do we do with this? Because Jesus's example almost seems as if it's unrealistic sometimes, but yet it's not. It's not unrealistic for us to escape and get away and go be alone by ourselves and hang out with God. But in a chaotic world, it feels like it. I mean, when you have your busiest week ever, do you pencil in time? I'm going to get up early this day and I'm going to go away and spend some time alone by myself. I haven't done that. Would you? We would want to, and we'd want to skip that meeting, right? But sometimes we can't. So how do we do this? How do we get this type of communion with God, this type of relationship with God where we are okay in the most chaotic moments of our life and we spend time with God? How do we do that? Talk about three simple things. They're not simple, they're hard, but they come across simple. That if we could make a decision on it, I think it would change us drastically if we would just put it into practice. Because in the midst of an extremely difficult, busy, chaotic piece of ministry, by all accounts, Jesus is very calm. He's not freaking out. He's not lashing out. He's not yelling at anyone. He's not having a moment where he's happy one moment and then wild the next. That's me sometimes when I get going into too much going on in life and I just, it's overwhelming. Maybe you don't lash out. I might. Maybe you retreat. I don't know what your initial response is when life gets a little crazy. But sometimes that's what happens. Jesus doesn't do any of that. Why? I think number one, he's God. But two, he makes time for communion with God. So our first thought is this. We have to get to a place where we refuse to live without it, without communion with God. We have to get to the place where we refuse to live without it, that it becomes a non-negotiable. And what am I talking about when I'm talking about communion with God? I'm talking about simple daily disciplines like devotions, like prayer time, like fasting, like spending time in worship, like reading God's word. Those types of things that are just basic but get skipped or get looked over or get put on the back burner when life gets crazy. We've got to get to a place where it is, where we refuse to live without it. You see, when we refuse to live without it, we are casting a vote for the person that you want to become. God has already given you a new identity, and so let's do our part to be a son or daughter by abiding in God's love, because it's the thing that we need most. So it's a refusal to live without it. Personally, and I've shared this with our board, I've shared this with others, and maybe you've heard it before, but I know exactly what my day is going to look like, and I know exactly how much time I have every morning to be able to do the things that I need to do in order to make my day work. So if I have a 9 o'clock appointment, I know that I need to be up by 6 in order to do my devotions, my prayer time, sculpt my beard, and get about my business. You're laughing, but there's a lot of work here, okay? But I know exactly how much time needs to be done. If I have an appointment that is earlier than that, I'll set the alarm earlier. And the reason why is because I have bought into this idea that I refuse to live without it. And I kid you not, when I made that decision, it changed everything. I've always been about devotions, and I've always been about doing my daily disciplines, but I wasn't always very good at it. It wasn't something that I learned at a very young age. I wish that I did. I heard about it, but I didn't have the gumption to do it. But once I did, I was not only a better relationship with God, a deeper relationship with God, but I grew as a husband, I grew as a dad, I grew as a friend, I grew as a brother, as a son to my mom and dad, and life was drastically different because I put first things first. I'm a follower of Jesus before I'm anything else. And I refuse to let anything else get in the way. Second thought is this. We have to be willing to give something up. When Jesus went up and got up early that day, he gave up a couple of things. One, he gave up some sleep. And we love sleep, right? That was not the type of response that I thought I was going to get. We're not even going to try again. Okay? But he was willing to give something up. Some sleep. But one of the things that he was also willing to give up was his availability. He made himself unavailable for anyone else because of what was most important. And that was his time with Jesus, with God. That was his time with the Heavenly Father. We may have to give up some of our availability to other people so that we can have that time with God. We may have to give up other areas of our life that we consider to be important, like sleep. Well, if you have an early appointment, go to bed an hour earlier. But then I might miss out on my favorite show. You can stream anything nowadays, right? Well, I might not be up to speed on social media or on the news or things like that. What is a very real thing in today's society is FOMO, fear of missing out. I have that. You probably have fear of missing out, where other people are doing something and you are missing out because you're not included in that. Well, sometimes you gotta just do what matters most. So you give up. Our souls crave that relationship with God. Your soul craves it, and it knows it when it receives it, and it desires it even more. Your soul doesn't crave social media. Your soul doesn't crave the latest this or that or any of that. Now, what I'm not saying that you can't do other things. I didn't say that. What I'm saying is that sometimes you have to give up certain things. Does that mean that you can't catch it later? You can. But the idea is if those things take priority, then we're missing out on what matters most. Last thought is this. And this is more of a practical step. And it's practicing the presence of God. There was a 16th century monk by the name of Brother Lawrence. He wrote a book. I think he wrote a book. I'm pretty sure it's by the orders of something by Brother Lawrence. I should have done my research. I knew it off the top of my head. But anyways, he is famous for doing a couple of things, and it is practicing the presence of God. That no matter what he was doing, he was involving God in his actions and in his work. So while he was doing the dishes, and that's what he, one of his main responsibilities was doing the dishes in the monastery, was that he was involving Jesus in the dishes. He's doing them, scrubbing them. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you that we have these many people that we are feeding through the work that we're doing here. Thank you, God, for the however it was, but it's about being in that constant presence of God. And it can be done in many different ways. At work, it can be constant prayer time, constant just praising, thanking Jesus for what, or what, singing and worshiping while you're doing actions and activities, constantly practicing and being aware that God is with you wherever you are at. I would recommend that book to be read, Practicing the Presence of God, by Brother Lawrence. And if you can't find it, that's because I just gave you the wrong name of it. But I have it, and I'll get the right one for you if you're interested. But it's a really good way for us to just be aware of where we're at when we're just living with God. Because to be quite honest, when we do anything throughout the day, I can pretty much guarantee it, because it happens to me, that we get lost in the world that we're in. I get lost in when I'm creating a document for the church, and I'm not thinking about anything other than getting the document done and not paying attention that, oh God, I could be praying for this thing that we're going to be doing, and it's not even on my mind. But how great would it be if we took the time to let God in to our world where we're at, so that he can speak, so that he can get through us and into us. So we practice the presence of God. And that can include worship. That can include reading the word. But it's more about the mindset of where are we when we're going about our day? Where is your mind at? Is it in a state of thanksgiving? Or is it in a state of bitterness because that situation is driving you crazy? Well, when that happens, come back to thanksgiving. Come back to what God is doing. Give him thanks for the situation and ask for his wisdom in it. And I guarantee that your mindset will adjust. The bitterness will fall away and there'll be a breakthrough. I believe it. Try it. So three things. Practice the presence of God. Be willing to give something up. And we have to get to a place where we refuse to live without communion with God. I'm not talking about physical bread and cup. I'm talking relational with God. That's been the big picture all along. Next week, we're going to do something that I've never done before on a Sunday morning, and we're going to have a prayer service. And I'm really looking forward to it. The details haven't been completely fleshed out yet, and that's because it's still being worked on. And I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope that you will just come into the house of the Lord next week with not just a lot of thanksgiving, but ready to involve yourself in prayer, but then also just let God speak to you through prayer. It's going to be a different experience. I'm not preaching. We're praying, okay? And I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'll be a really, really good way to finish our 21 days of prayer. And so plan on next week. Don't skip, because I just gave you the cat's out of the bag of what we're doing. We don't want to miss out on that, okay? Let's pray, and then we'll close our time with worship. Father, you are so good. You are so good. And we are grateful for all that you do. We're thankful that as we can think about fasting during one meal this week, God, that you would do amazing things in our time of prayer during that time. God, I pray for breakthroughs in people's lives this week when it comes to their relationship with you. when it comes to their struggles, when it comes to the difficulties that they might be experiencing, when it comes to relational situations, God, will you have a breakthrough? Will you do amazing things in the life of your people this week? God, as we spend time just in our regular prayer time, praying through the different items this week, will you hear those prayers and will you work in them? But I also pray, Lord, that you would challenge each of us to practice the presence of you, to be willing to give something up and be willing, God, to refuse to live without you. That's not a non-negotiable. We want to live with you. We want to live in communion with you. Help us to get to the place where that is so important to us that we refuse to live without you. So thank you, God, for that. Tug on our hearts, tug on our souls, and draw us so close to you that when our family, our friends, our coworkers, people that we encounter, when they see us, they only see you. They only see your love. They only see your grace, your mercy, your joy, your peace, your self-control, all of it, God. That's what we want others to see. So thank you for that, Lord. As we worship you, Lord, may you be lifted up because you are worthy. We pray these things in your Son's holy name, the name of Jesus. Amen.